get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video. Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks.
It's a small cemetery tucked into the quiet hills of Exeter, Rhode Island. Modest, unassuming. And yet, the ground beneath it holds one of the strangest and most disturbing chapters in American history. A chapter where fear of the unknown drove good people to desperate and horrifying acts. Tonight, we journey to Chestnut Hill Cemetery, the final resting place of Mercy Brown, a young woman who, long after her death, was accused of being a vampire. Her exhumation, the removal of her heart, and the chilling rituals performed in an attempt to save her brother from disease would send shockwaves far beyond the tiny town of Exeter. Over a century later, visitors still report cold spots, ghostly figures, and the unshakable feeling of being watched among these moss-covered graves. Was it just the harsh hand of tuberculosis that doomed the Browns, or did something more sinister cling to the family even in death? I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's dig in. Tucked away at the edge of town, Chestnut Hill Cemetery doesn't shout for attention. No towering monuments, no grand elaborate tombs. Just rows of weathered headstones, gently sloping hills, and the feeling that time itself has decided to linger a little longer here. The cemetery was established in the 1800s, a time when rural communities like Exeter, Rhode Island, built simple burial grounds to honor their dead. It served the people of Exeter for generations, standing quietly among the changing seasons, a witness to the town's joys, hardships, and whispered fears. Chestnut Hill became the eternal home for farmers, blacksmiths, children, and elders alike. Each stone a silent testimony to a life once lived. But in the late 19th century, death wasn't just a part of life. It was an almost constant visitor. Tuberculosis, then known as consumption, swept through New England like a shadow nobody could escape. It didn't discriminate, young, old, healthy, frail. It drained its victims slowly, painfully. They would cough up blood, waste away to ghostly shells of themselves, and finally, slip into death. To communities who didn't understand germs or medical science, it looked like something was feeding on the living, draining them. Whispers turned into accusations. Maybe the dead weren't truly dead. Maybe they still clung to the living, unseen, leeching their life away night by night. And in the small farming community of Exeter, those whispers found a tragic target. George and Mary Eliza Brown were hardworking, God-fearing folk raising their children among the rocky fields and thick woods of Rhode Island's countryside. They were no strangers to loss. Few families were spared by tuberculosis, but the Brown family's suffering would be unusually cruel. In 1883, Mary Eliza Brown succumbed first. Her passing, though painful, was seen as part of the sorrowful rhythm of life at the time. But then, only 6 months later, their daughter Mary Olive also fell ill. She too wasted away, coughing and gasping for breath before dying in her early 20s. The Brown family reeled, but life had to go on. George Brown, stoic and practical, did what he could to hold the family together. For a time, it seemed the worst had passed, until 1891, when Edwin Brown, the only surviving son, began to show signs of illness. He grew weak, pale, hollow-eyed. His body withered despite every home remedy known to the Browns and their neighbors. And then Mercy Lena Brown, their youngest daughter, also took ill. Mercy was just 19 years old. Lively and spirited by all accounts, she was the light of her father's weary heart. But tuberculosis cares little for youth or spirit. It tore through her quickly. She died in January of 1892, just a few months after Edwin became ill. To lose so much, so fast, it was unbearable, and it was unnatural. The townsfolk, desperate for answers, found themselves falling back on old legends, the old New England superstitions that blamed death not on unseen germs, but on the dead themselves. Maybe someone from the Brown family had not truly passed on. Maybe someone was feeding off Edwin's life from beyond the grave. The community began to murmur, and murmurings in a town as small and tight-knit as Exeter had a way of becoming action. George Brown was a rational man. He was not, by reputation, a superstitious one. But desperation does strange things to reason. And so when the town gathered in March of 1892 and suggested that the Brown family graves be exhumed, George gave his permission. It was a grim procession. A group of neighbors and a local doctor trekked to Chestnut Hill Cemetery. There, under a gray sky and a biting chill, they unearthed the bodies of Mary Eliza and Mary Olive First. As expected, their remains had decomposed normally, skeletal and sunken, after years in the earth. Then they turned to Mercy. Because Mercy had died during the brutal Rhode Island winter, her body had not been buried underground immediately. Instead, she had been stored in an above-ground crypt, a makeshift cold storage, until the frozen ground thawed enough for burial. When the coffin was opened, Mercy's body appeared shockingly intact. Her face was almost lifelike. Blood was said to be present in her heart and veins. To the grief-stricken minds of 19th-century New Englanders, this was not an expected sight. It was a sign. Mercy Brown, they decided, was not truly dead. To break the supposed curse, they cut out Mercy's heart and liver. They burned her heart to ash on a nearby rock, mixed the ashes with water, and gave the mixture to Edwin to drink. A desperate folk cure meant to break the vampire's hold. It didn't work. Edwin Brown died 2 months later, joining the rest of his family beneath the worn headstones of Chestnut Hill. Today we know there was nothing supernatural about Mercy's appearance. Bodies kept in cold, dry conditions decomposed much more slowly. The blood scene was simply a normal post-mortem phenomenon. The supposed freshness of her body was the natural result of refrigeration by the brutal New England winter. Tuberculosis, a contagious disease, explained the slow, devastating spread among the Browns, not vampirism. Yet in a world without antibiotics or real understanding of contagion, people clung to the explanations that made sense to them. The fear that loved ones could be preyed upon even after death was powerful. It gave shape to their grief and action to their helplessness. Still, even knowing the facts, there's something unsettling about what happened on that cold March day. About the way grief and terror can lead a community to disturb their own dead in search of salvation. And Chestnut Hill Cemetery has never quite shaken that shadow. Even after the ashes had cooled and the Browns were all laid to rest, something about Chestnut Hill Cemetery refused to settle, as if disturbing the dead had stirred up more than just sorrow, as if some part of Mercy or the fear she represented had never truly been put back in the ground. In the months following the Mercy Brown incident, Exeter found itself at the center of national attention. Newspapers across the country ran lurid headlines about vampires in Rhode Island, turning the small farming community into a reluctant symbol of superstition and panic. Journalists descended on the town, some mocking, some merely curious, but all fascinated by the idea that in the modern world, people could still believe in such dark forces. Mercy Brown became a legend in death, an unwilling figure at the crossroads of folklore and fear. Over time, as memories of the incident faded and generations turned, the cemetery returned to its quiet existence. But not entirely. Whispers began to circulate among visitors to Chestnut Hill. Whispered reports of sudden cold spots near Mercy's grave, even on warm summer afternoons. Strange feelings of unease. The unsettling sensation of being watched by unseen eyes just beyond the tree line. And sometimes, actual sightings. More than one visitor has claimed to see a young woman in a long, old-fashioned dress wandering among the headstones. Sometimes she appears solid, almost real. Other times, little more than a misty outline slipping behind a crumbling monument. She never speaks. She simply vanishes when approached, leaving nothing behind but an icy chill and the pounding of your own heart. Paranormal investigators, drawn by Mercy's story, have spent nights at Chestnut Hill Cemetery, hoping to capture evidence of the unexplained. EVP sessions, electronic voice phenomena recordings, have occasionally picked up faint whispers, indecipherable words, or a single chilling phrase, "Let me rest." One local paranormal group reported seeing lights dancing among the graves one night, faint bluish orbs that flitted through the darkness before disappearing without a trace. Their equipment, cameras, EMF detectors, audio recorders, malfunctioned repeatedly near Mercy's plot, sparking debates about whether natural electromagnetic anomalies or something stranger might be at play. Mercy Brown's grave itself has become a strange shrine. Visitors often leave offerings, coins, flowers, small stones, or even handwritten notes asking for protection, forgiveness, or answers. Some of these objects have been found rearranged overnight with no footprints or obvious signs of tampering. Skeptics chalk it up to animals or shifting winds. Believers see the hand of something not quite at peace. Theories about the ongoing phenomena vary. Some paranormal researchers suggest that the trauma surrounding Mercy's death and her posthumous desecration created a kind of residual haunting. A psychic echo imprinted on the landscape, replaying endlessly for those sensitive enough to perceive it. Others believe that Mercy's spirit herself may linger, trapped between worlds by the violence done to her body and the indignity of becoming a town's scapegoat. Her exhumation, her mutilation, her heart burned on a stone. Perhaps the unrest seeded something darker. Skeptics offer a more grounded explanation, confirmation bias. Visitors come primed to experience something strange and interpret every gust of wind, every creaking branch, every chill along the spine as evidence of the supernatural. The power of suggestion, especially in a place so steeped in legend, is formidable. Yet even hardened skeptics admit there's something different about Chestnut Hill. Something about the silence that hangs heavier than it should. About the way the trees seem to lean a little closer. About the air, thick with something unspoken. Today, Chestnut Hill Cemetery stands not only as a memorial to the ordinary lives lost in a harsh, unforgiving era, but also as a place where history and myth blur together. A place where the weight of grief, fear, and shame lingers still. Visitors who come seeking Mercy's grave often leave with more questions than answers. And sometimes, they leave with the unshakable feeling that someone or something watched them as they walked away. Chestnut Hill Cemetery may look like just another sleepy patch of New England soil, but it holds a story that never quite lies still. Whether you see it as a tragic misunderstanding fueled by disease and desperation or as a genuine paranormal hotspot where something lingers beyond the grave, one thing's for sure, it's not a place easily forgotten. On one side, the facts paint a clear picture. Tuberculosis tore through families with brutal efficiency. In a world without modern medicine, people grasped for answers in old folklore and fear. Mercy Brown wasn't a vampire. She was a young woman who died in the grip of a cruel disease, only to be pulled back into the world of the living by the hands of her grieving, terrified community. The cold preservation of her body wasn't a sign of undeath. It was simple winter physics. And yet, Simple explanations don't always satisfy the human heart. Not when you stand among those headstones and feel a breath of cold air that wasn't there a moment ago. Not when you catch a glimpse of movement out of the corner of your eye, only to find nothing but empty shadows. Maybe it's confirmation bias, maybe it's the eerie power of suggestion. Or maybe, just maybe, there are things in this world that science doesn't have a tidy answer for. Things that cling to places touched by fear, grief, and the desperate hope that death isn't the end. So whether you come to Chestnut Hill looking for history, or for something a little darker, just remember, when you walk among the dead, you might not be as alone as you think. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video. Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video. Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.